Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 789 for the week of October 18th, 2025. I'm Chris Privateer here with RP Gamers, fantastic podcasters for the week, including Kelly Ryan.
My 12th anniversary, wedding anniversary is tomorrow.
Ooh, congrats. You going anywhere?
No, we're having a little staycation. I am going somewhere. I'm traveling to Libya City for the week.
I see. We'll get to that then. Yeah. And then also joining me, Ryan Costa.
It's Steam Next Fest this week as well.
Oh, so you have demos to play. Ah. It's always Steam Next Fest, though. When is it not?
There's at least four a year, so I consider them almost like the seasons. You know, weather's changing. It's a new Steam Next Fest.
Time for a new Next Fest. All right.
Is the Next Fest always before or after the big sale of the season?
I think the big sale was before this time around, because I thought it was last week that it ended.
Yeah, I think so, too. Also, I have wishlisted a bunch of stuff this week, thanks to demos and interesting stories coming out. So we'll see how much more I wishlist by the end of the show.
Mm. No, that's it for people. No, we're out.
Yeah.
I don't have any other people to introduce. Oh.
Isn't Josh in Canada right now? Because I saw him.
Yeah, he's not here.
Well, I know he's not here. I saw him posting Tim Hortons stuff on Blue Sky.
I see. Can't escape Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons become U.S. now?
Sure.
If it is, it's probably like North Chris's neck of the woods.
Yeah, we don't have any here. I've seen some in the Northeast from Wisconsin, okay. But not in Wisconsin that I've seen. Maybe Upper Michigan, but we've driven through there a couple times. I didn't see it there. So no, I think you have to go further east, or they're just skipping Wisconsin because reasons. It's okay. Tim Hortons has been owned by a different company now for years, and kind of sucks now.
Basically what I was getting at, because isn't it the same people that own Burger King?
I think Wendy's, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Some conglomeration.
Maybe it keeps changing hands and I can't keep up with it.
So
Fess says Tim Burger Hortons, King. Fess agrees with you.
Is Tim Hortons like a Dunkin' Donuts thing where some people prefer their coffee to their donuts, or the other way around?
Tim Hortons coffee is awful. That's all I can say. I prefer the donuts at Tim Hortons to Dunkin'. I prefer the coffee at Dunkin' to Tim Hortons. But like, we're talking bottom of the barrel coffee to begin with at both of them. So I'm not sure that's a real statement.
But you're also a coffee snob.
I am. So
in Canada, Tim Hortons is basically the 30 person lineup at almost any point in the day with people buying coffee.
I'm aware. I just don't understand why. Isn't there like isn't there some other coffee places? Canadian coffee chains. Let's see what we got. We've got Second Cup. Is this a place you've ever heard of? No?
Very briefly. I can't speak for all Canadians in that.
No, you are speaking for all Canadians.
Isolated city of 110,000 where it takes like 6 to 8 hours to get anywhere where there's of more than 1,000 other people living in it.
Oh, we have somebody made an infographic at mcleans.ca. I don't know how reliable this is, but here we go. We've got the most favorite coffee chain in Canada as of October 20th, 2017. So this is real current. 2017, really? We've got McDonald's number one, followed by Second Cup, followed by Starbucks, followed by Tim Horton, followed by Van Hout, followed by Country Style. What? Followed by Robin's Donuts, followed by Coffee Time. Yeah, this is all pre-pandemic times. This is like prehistory. Have you heard of any of these places other than like McDonald's and Starbucks?
Personally,
I've never heard of any of these places.
I thought Robin's Donuts was a local chain, so this kind of blew my mind for that, unless everyone in my town just voted for Robin's Donuts.
This is like 7 years ago, so half these places could be closed now.
Yes.
So I don't know. Let's see. Do we have an updated McLean's favorite coffee? And if so, how would I find it? Favorite coffee. Canada top coffee places 2025. Let's see. 2025. Are any of these useful? Do you have a a big city you're nearby that you can share, Ryan?
The closest would be Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. All right. Winnipeg. Best coffee 2025. Let's figure this out. There is no single best coffee spot in Winnipeg for 2025. Top contenders include Parlor Coffee, Park Cafe, and Empty Cup Collective. Other highly regarded spots. This is the AI summary, by the way, so it could all be wrong. Other highly regarded spots are Daily Grind Coffee Limited, Clementine, and Moss Coffee Co. These all seem like local spots. So that's, I want my, man.
That would fit with what I know of my local place too, that everyone likes going to local, or they just say it costs $1 for a coffee at McDonald's, Tim Hortons, wherever they go, because, you know, cheap just beats.
Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, depending on your tastes and what you can tolerate and what you want in the moment, that sure makes a lot of sense rather than paying for expensive third wave coffee at a coffee shop. Because you're paying a lot for that. So let's see.
You're reminding me that I need to support my local coffee shop / cat cafe.
I mean, I mean, is that Civet Coffee in a way?
Civet Coffee.
No, never mind. Civet.
I don't get it.
That's that's the coffee. Calipia? I can't. No. Capopeca, the one that the civets eat and poop out, and then they make the coffee from the beans.
Oh. I don't know.
All right, fair enough. I just want to know what the best coffee chain is in Canada right now. Let's see. Canadian coffee chains. Here we go. What does this say? Did somebody say Arby's? Tell me somebody said Arby's in this thread. Arby's. Somebody said Arby's. Oh, as a wayfinder, San Vito on Potage and Mount Royal and Daily Grind further up on Potage west of Sturgeon in the old Arby's. What city is this? Just they gave directions to a specific. The person asked, it's our Winnipeg. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. All right.
I'm still hung up on the civet thing. What is it about the civet poop that improves the coffee bean?
This is a difficult discussion because much like wine, it's very subjective. Just because they say it's expensive and people do it doesn't mean you will like it or that it's good for everyone.
Okay.
I'm so pretty sure
it's a gimmick for this one. Go ahead.
Something that poos something out is the definition of acquired taste.
I'm going to go with yeah on that one. And it certainly has a unique flavor. It doesn't taste like poop because, like, it's cleaned and everything. It's just the digestive tract has acted on those beans, and so it changes the flavor of the coffee you make with it, of course.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. What was it about the digestive process that improved the flavor? Or
I'm going to guess a lot of acid washing, honestly.
I mean,
and fermentation in the gut.
In theory, you could just replicate the stomach acid and get the same effect and not have to deal with the poop.
You're probably right.
You have to use that malt vinegar to get that acidity.
So actually, there we have something called natural process coffee, which is where the coffee is allowed to sit and ferment inside its cherry for a while. And that does produce a lot of varied and interesting flavors that are, again, some people like me, some people hate. And I think that's kind of where we went instead of just, you know, relying on poop.
And I mean, to be honest, I'm one of those heathens that likes a little coffee with my creamer. So, to be honest, I don't care what the coffee tastes like as long as I have plenty of French vanilla and or Italian cream creamer. So I do like the flavor parity of like a caramel coffee with the French vanilla. But that's about it. I'm also a dirty Keurig user, so take what I say with a hefty tablespoon of salt.
I just go here, go by hearsay because I still get jittery when I eat occasional chocolate. So I don't, I've been caffeine free for a while now.
I have my one cup in the morning just to kind of get me going.
Right, I found it, folks. I found it. I've tried coffee from Canada's top fast food chains, and the best brew isn't what you'd expect.
That's a
So.
clickbait title.
It is, right? So number five, the bottom is Tim Hortons. Yeah. Then Starbucks, and then Second Cup Cafe. So I think this is a chain, Ryan. Or that one you already knew was a chain. Sorry, I got confused. I got
Knew of
lost.
it, yes.
And then the McDonald's coffee, and then their number one pick, Wendy's coffee. There we go. This is from 2023, so it's likely to be more current. So I want to know, now that we've covered coffee, what have you been playing, Kelly?
Well, my new toy came in the mail this
Your new
week.
toy?
By Switch 2. It got here Thursday night. Funny little story. So both Vaughn and I bought Switch 2s, and since our wedding anniversary is tomorrow, I handed him the box, my box, and I said happy anniversary, and he handed me his box and he
Oh, for
said happy
goodness sake.
anniversary. And there's just a little joke between the two of us that, like, hey, this is our anniversary presents to the two of us. Because
It's
I don't know,
expensive.
to me that's funny to do that. Every time we end up buying the same thing, particularly around October when our anniversary is. So my Switch 2 is my anniversary present. Thank you, Vaughn. Setup wasn't too bad. I'm thankful for this faster processor in the Switch 2 because my God, deleting stuff out of the Switch 1 is a pain in the ass. They don't let you select multiple save files at once, and I was trying to clean out some of the demos and like some of the demo save data and stuff that I had lingering that I was afraid was going to make the transfer process go longer. And at the end of the day, it didn't matter. But
Yeah, it sounds like it only transfers the stuff it can't just easily re-download from the store.
yeah, that's what it does. And then all that stuff that gets transferred does automatically get re-downloaded from the store. So you kind of have to go through your whole list and pick and choose what you want on there and what you don't want on there. I'm also an idiot because I bent my memory card getting it out of the
Oh,
package and I'm having to
no.
return it.
Yeah, those are easy to damage.
I did not realize that.
I've broken a couple of the micro SD cards in the past by putting them in a Raspberry Pi in a case and then doing things with the case without taking the card back out, which is basically a setup for a memory card death trap, and it just snaps it in two. It's
Yeah.
like, good job, me.
So,
I'm glad that you're
yeah.
able to return it though, because
I just
it's user error,
did an
right?
am oh, I just did an Amazon and exchange said that it was defective and I need to go drop.
Defective. Yeah,
Yeah.
because you broke
Yeah.
it.
I've got to go drop it off at the UPS store at some point this week, and I don't even know if my new one is shipped yet.
I hope they send it out. Well, I don't hope this, but I think it'd be funny if they send it out to someone else's like new. And you get two for the price of one.
Yeah. I felt really dumb doing that.
Yeah, they
But,
are unnecessarily fragile. And these are the new ones for the Switch 2 are expensive, right?
yeah, $60.
And that's for how big?
256.
Oh, all
So
right.
doubling your memory because the internal storage is 256.
While expensive, that does just make me think back to the good old days of the PS1 memory cards that were like $30 for one save file.
Listen, it had like 16 blocks or whatever, right? Or
I
was it
think it was
seven?
15.
Yeah.
So you'd take a chance on a third party card and wake up one day and all your saves would be gone, and that's when you would cry. But I got everything set up. It transferred everything over beautifully, and I'm now playing Pokemon Z to A. And I feel like the collective internet has decided they hate this game,
Oh,
even
have
though
they?
it's reviewing well, but I've had to mark not interested on multiple YouTube videos saying Pokemon ZA sucks and is a waste of money.
Are they playing the Switch One version? Because I hear that version is worse, at least.
I honestly don't know. I'm not a big fan of hating on Pokemon for hating on its sake.
Well, I mean, the Nintendo has done this to themselves somewhat with the frickin' patent stuff recently. So people are
Well,
already
yeah.
ready to be angry at them.
I don't blame people for being angry because I think that stuff is dumb.
Yep.
But I appreciate these Legends games because it gives the Pokemon company a chance to experiment without pissing off the fan base, because the fan base gets so bitchy when they try to change the main generation games in any way or form.
I think
And
Andy was showing me some sort of article about like people are complaining that the Pokemon games are like too easy or simple, and it's like, yeah, that's a feature, not a bug, since they're meant for kids.
yeah. It's not that they were always easy. It's just now they've kind of caught up with systems and features that aren't tedious, like having to walk all the way back to a Pokemon Center to swap out your guys.
I think people
Or
want Pokemon games for adults, and Nintendo just doesn't want to make them.
no, that's what the indie games are for. Go play Tim-Tim or Coromon or one of those other clones if you want old school Pokemon. But guess what? I played Tim-Tim. It just reminded me of what's annoying about old Pokemon games. This game, however, is awesome. Hey, you know what happens to Pokeballs when you accidentally whiff on catching a Pokemon?
No, they just disappear usually.
Well, in this game, a guy apparently is a ninja that follows you around and picks them up off the ground and gives them back to you outside of a Pokemon Center.
Cool, but also, what kind of job is that? That's a bit rough that you have a personal litter pickup slave.
It's
You should
weird.
tip them a lot.
They do it for free. And when I discovered this NPC, because this NPC is outside of every Pokemon Center in ZA, and by the way, in ZA, any NPC that has yellow text has stuff for you,
Oh,
so
okay.
you don't have to necessarily waste your time talking to every single NPC unless you want to, because any of them that have yellow text will just give you stuff. And this guy had yellow text. And he's like, "Hey, you ever wonder what happens to Pokeballs when you miss? Well, I've got them for you." And I'm like, "Oh my God, where have you been all my life, guy?"
If they're gonna do that, why not just have them go right back into your inventory from the get-go?
That I
Why
don't
go
know.
through this weirdness with the NPC?
I don't know. I really don't. Either way, it's nice. And then I thought, well, wait, would he pick up the Master Ball for you? And then realize, well, no, because the Master Ball never misses. So we'll play it
If you
again.
miss with a master ball, then I mean, you've done something weird.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be able to help.
But th this game is all sorts of, full of all sorts of little fun features like that. It's an action RPG, so you no longer have PowerPoints for your moves.
Just cooldowns, I assume.
Just cooldowns. So each move is mapped to one of the four face
So
buttons.
it's a bad MMO now.
Yeah, not a bad MMO because I'm
Okay.
having a blast with
All
it.
right. So it's a MOBA thing.
just being able to just kind of roll up on Pokemon and wail on them, and because things have cooldowns, your debuff moves and other non-combat moves are actually useful to me now. 'Cause like I swap out those debuff moves the second that I can, 'cause I prefer just having all action moves, 'cause I don't like wasting a turn debuffing. But in this one, it's actually kind of a viable strategy. Well, I mean, it's been, always been a viable strategy, like in competitive and stuff, but I don't play competitive. Let's see what else. I had a whole list of stuff I wanted to talk about, and I'm completely bl mental list, and I'm completely blanking on a lot of it
All right,
now.
story any good?
It's hard to say that your MacGuffin is that you are just you're touring Lumiose City, and a guy recruits you into his battle team, and you're doing the battle ranks, and you start out at rank Z, and each night you have to get in fights with other Pokemon trainers to move up your ranks. And the fight with the other rank Z guy is funny as hell because he complains about how he'll never see a promotion because people are always beating his ass. He's basically the Glass Joe of the Pokemon
Oh,
ranks.
that's a
And it made
Punch
me
Out reference, folks.
Yeah, it made me feel kind of bad, but also like the second that the game kind of opened up, I was just running around the rooftops and stuff, just c catching Pokemon. And that there are pink crystals everywhere that you can break using Pokemon moves that gives you experience. So by the time I faced this guy, I was like level 15, and he was level 3, or very huge level disparity. And I pretty much just wiped the floor with him. And
So,
that's go ahead.
do you think in game that they are paying Glass Joe here at all, or is he like the guy who's collecting Pokeballs and just doing it for the fun of it? Because if so, that guy who loses all the time has to be the biggest Pokemon fan ever.
I imagine, well, the guy whose ass I beat to get the Y rank and the Pokeball collector guy is not the same guy,
Okay.
if that's what you're saying.
Well, we're wondering if they get paid or if he's doing it for free.
That, like I said, that I don't know. Well, Pokemon has always seemed like kind of a communist society, given that, well, not communist, more of a socialist society, given that there's free healthcare for your Pokemon.
True. But not for you.
Well, you just get knocked out and end up in your hotel room. There's also a day
Does that
nights.
mean there's like a Monster Hunter cart that comes and collects you and throws you into your hotel room?
Yeah,
And we just
sounds
don't
like
see
it.
it? It's...
Yeah. But there is a day night cycle in this game, and the nighttime is when you fight other trainers to get your ranks, and that's also how you're going to make most of your money in the game, because it opens up these battle zones within the city, and you can collect different objectives, like use super effective moves or knock out an opponent's Pokemon with a water move or something like that, and you're trying to get as many medals as possible between dusk and dawn, and how many medals you get determines how much money you get at the end of the night. And I made like 35 grand just that first night that the rains were taken off.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, it was quite a bit, because like upgraded or buying a bunch of clothes and stuff can be like 20 grand on its own, depending
Oh,
on the
we've got
clothing
fashion mini
source.
game in this one again. Okay.
Yeah. Because there was a leather jacket that was like twenty grand, and it's like I've got to go get me this leather jacket. And there's also wild zones with Pokemon that you can catch, but Pokemon spawn throughout the entire city. Like in back alleys and stuff, there's the little trash bag Pokemon that you can catch, or like the little Pidgeys will be everywhere, like in trees and stuff, and you can catch those. And there's a lot of rare Pokemon like up on rooftops. Oh, and this cracked me up. Your phone prevents you from taking any fall damage because it like grabs you at the last second if you jump off a roof.
Is it possessed by Rotom?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
They're just going with that forever now.
But that was such a funny thing to me. Like you remember the Isekai phone from the first Legends and how absurd that was. This is like
Pokemon God gave you a cell phone. Yeah.
yeah. This is like, well, now your Pokemon cell phone also can carry the weight of a small child, apparently.
Sure, why not?
And I wonder if you're going to get an upgrade with it later that lets you glide because there are all these platforming puzzles.
Oh, I bet you'll be able to fly by the end of it, just like in the last one, right?
That will be nice because the platforming puzzles can be a little bit challenging. There's some of them that I have not figured out yet how you're supposed to finish those.
It's
But,
the like if there was an Easter egg where if you fall from a high enough spot, they just lets you drop and say it's not fun dropping like a cell phone, is it?
that's kind of funny. But, crap, what else was I was gonna say?
Vaughn's like, I
There's
want to play it
also.
now, but I'm stuck in DK Bonanza.
Yeah, it was funny listening to him play DK Bonanza and hearing banana every
Ooh,
couple of minutes.
banana.
Because that's the sound that plays whenever you get a golden banana in that game. And I also thought that that whole game was going to be in Simlish until I heard Pauline start talking because all the gorillas kind of talk in Simlish. But Pauline talks in standard English. I'm probably going to borrow that game from Vaughn when he's done with it.
Probably a good idea. People like it.
It looks cute.
I'm a little grossed out that Donkey Kong goes back and forth between I need to wear pants and I'm super powered now. Look at my butt. I don't know what's up with that, but it sure is a thing in there.
If you get super
Vaughn.
powered, wouldn't you want to show off your butt?
He's got a small child hanging out with him. Leave the pants on. That's all I'm saying.
Vaughn, what was the flavor text that said that was the naked form? Because yeah, you do get different
Your
skins in that
outfits
game,
give you bonuses, it says. Okay.
because you do get different skins in that game, and one of them was naked as the day you're born. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Shows me.
I guess Donkey Kong is a proud dude. But what else? There's side quests in Pokemon ZA, and some of them give you the original starters from X and Y.
Yeah, is there a lot of callback to X and Y?
Those particular starters you get, which you get all three of them, so you don't have to pick and choose.
Oh,
Oh, and
nice.
the starter that I picked was Tepig, but I ended up putting it back in the box because my favorite. One of my favorites from that region is Litleo. And it took a while to find me a male Litleo because that evolves into a Pyroar with a very majestic mane. Kind of looks like Mufasa.
But then doesn't it turn into a cat that went to the gym and can carry you around? Or is that a different generation cat?
I feel like that's a different. Oh, are
Okay.
you talking Incineroar?
Sure. Yeah,
I
probably.
don't know if Incineroar is in this game or not.
Gotcha. Okay.
There is Meowstic, which is the adorable little psychic cat. Esper and Meowstic. And I love those guys because they're so cute. I feel like I'm basically going to end up with the same team that I had in X and Y because a lot of my favorites are from that generation. Scar PG's Mufasa, I'm more of a fan of his brother.
Yes, Scar, we know.
Hey, Scar is my favorite Disney villain. I've said this before. But yeah, overall, I'm having a blast with Pokemon ZA. I've barely scratched the surface of it, and all of my Pokemon are already level 25 to show just how much I've kind of not been doing the story and just kind of running around and exploring and catching various Pokemon and stuff, and I'm gonna start working on the ranks because that instead of the gym battles, your ranks is how you progress in this game. So right now, I think I'm working on rank W. Like the title implies, you start out at Z and then move up to A. So that's kind of the gameplay cycle.
Okay.
But yeah, is Andy playing this right now?
No, Andy's still working on tactics. I think he wants
Okay.
to finish that first, but he does have it. His Switch 2 arrived on Thursday and got all set up and transferred. He's very happy with it. He likes the way the new controllers click in and stay attached and all that.
Oh yeah,
And
I like
that's
that too.
and then he went back to playing tactics, and I don't know that he's noticed any difference in how tactics performs or not, but got the upgrade and is playing the Switch 2 version now.
I love how quick everything is on the Switch 2. Like, browsing the eShop isn't a slog anymore. And the fact that you can actually sort your wish list now and have it only show games that are on sale is a godsend.
I don't understand why those functionalities aren't on the Switch 1 as well.
I don't understand either. I
It's just software.
the only thing that's missing now is a cart system, which you've said before is like, no, Kelly, that's a good thing. I'm like, yeah, but I'm lazy. I hate having to buy stuff individually. I just want to throw it all in a cart.
Then buy the whole
Yeah,
store.
Nintendo, we want to spend more money on you. I won't let it.
I mean, when there's one of those like super sales and stuff, and especially when there's a super sale combined with who is it, Newegg selling the gift cards for $45? It's like, Nintendo, I've got money I want to burn. Please let me buy a bunch of stuff at once. You're shooting yourself in the foot by not having this. And yeah, I have a lot of digital games on my Switch for a reason. Because it's been my go-to system for the longest time. I did end up having to purchase some ergonomic grips, though, because I noticed that the Joy-Cons are a little bit too thin for my massive man hands.
Okay.
And that's kind of an issue, especially since I've had repetitive motion
Did you
injuries.
look into the kill switch from dBrand at all?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh wait, the kill switch wouldn't make any sense. I guess no, that you want to hold the remote separate from the thing, don't you?
No, I want to be able to kind of hold it without my hands cramping in handheld mode.
Yeah, okay. So then there are cases for the Switch too that you can just put the whole thing in and it'll give you kind of a rounded outside to those to the Joy-Cons to grip onto.
But can you still dock?
I don't know. I think these are meant for portable use only, mostly.
Because that's the thing. I've got to get Joy-Con grips that also let me dock the system too.
I mean, you could take them off and on, but all right.
I know, but I'm also lazy.
Fair.
Oh, and the new. Not Joy-Con, the new Pro Controller 2, I love because it has these buttons underneath that are called the G buttons. They're like kind of under, I don't know where to describe it. It's like where your ring finger sits when
Yeah.
you are holding a controller,
Okay.
and you can map those anything you want.
Right. Just like the
So
Steam Deck has.
I had for ZA, I had mapped on the left hand the A button so that I can do one-handed play.
Oh.
And for the most part, it works pretty well. And I love that feature. I wish more controllers would have that feature. So that definitely makes it worth almost $100 that you're going to spend on that controller. And particularly if I know Andy has injury or hand issues.
So Andy's thing is he needs the controllers small enough for his hands.
Okay.
If they're too big, it's worse for him because his hands are small.
Is he able to do the Pro Controller, or is that too big?
I think the Pro Controller is okay-ish. But
Okay.
yeah, a lot of controllers are too big. He misses like when Mad Catz was making the tiny controllers for consoles because those were nice. I mean, though, you talk about a person who is still rocking an iPhone 13 mini because all the newer iPhones are too big for him. So yeah, I don't know what we're going to do when that phone breaks.
No, I get it. I totally get it. I just know that they were looking to like have the 3D printing for the original Joy-Cons to be able to do one-handed mode. Mm-hmm. So did that...
No, that was for me. I did that, and it worked okay.
Ah.
I think... Gotcha. I don't know if you sent it to me or another friend. Somebody sent me one of those. I got someone to do it.
It might have been another friend, because yeah. I got one printed just from a free design on ThinkGeek, but mm-hmm. I had kind of trouble getting it to work the way I wanted.
It's, it was just a sleds for you to slide the controllers in is what I found. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. It just, it wasn't very comfortable for me. I think I would have to like design my own thing for my own comfort. And by the time I did that, it's like, I might as well just go both hands.
So Fest says people are generally liking the Pro Controller too, so that's good.
Yeah. I don't think it's a waste of money. The only thing I don't like about it is it's got a different texture, a more matte texture that feels kind of weird, especially if I'm... I don't know if you guys have house rules about eating stuff while you're playing, but...
We don't have house rules, no.
Okay. Because I'm bad and I eat stuff while I'm playing, and yes. That kind of texture combined with like potato chip grease just feels weird.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, probably don't want all that grease on your controller. Can we eat away at the rubber on the outside and make it harder to grip over time?
Well, like the texture was different enough that I like showed the controller to Vaughn and made sure that he was okay with it, because he put it on the Pro Controller on his Christmas list. And I was like, you might want to feel this before you commit to that, just because I know that there are certain like silicone textures he can't stand.
I really like that we have lots of options for controllers. Like, there's so many that I keep being tempted to like, oh, I want to try that controller and that controller. I don't need all these controllers, so I haven't been buying them, and like, yay, good. But it does mean that when I feel like I need one, I have a lot of cool things to check out, like a lot of those 8-bit do controllers, the newer ones that sound pretty nice.
And Vaughn, I know you make your own silicone molds, but I know that there's been certain silicone controller covers that like made you throw the controller across the room because you hated the texture so much.
Well, that's why he makes his own now.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I handed him a controller that had one of those silicone condoms on it, for lack of a better term.
Do you rip it off and toss it?
And he just like dropped it. The texture made him so much.
He says that's because they added some other texture to it.
Yeah.
How dare
they?
Yeah,
and those were silicone. So, all right. And the annoying thing is that's probably what the grips I bought are ending up going to be. Mm. I don't know. They're out for delivery today.
Yeah, I think the first place I would look for that would be Dbrand right now, because they're doing pretty well in this sort of space of things that cover other things. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't have anything, then yeah, I guess I got to go to Amazon and gamble on weird brands that won't exist in 2 months.
Yeah, where you've got to pour through the reviews and see which ones are legit and which ones are people being idiots.
Yeah, so yeah, it looks like they do have a Switch 2 thing, which looks neat. Let's see. Whatever. Okay, anyway, cool. So
The only other thing I've been playing, and this will transition into Dalendar, but I see you're still rocking the Mega Bonk.
I had to
uninstall it because it was pissing me off.
Oh
my God. Saturday night, I played that game all Saturday night and was rocking different build types and stuff.
Kelly,
and just tearing
Kelly,
through mobs.
Kelly. I'm looking at the Project Kill Switch for the Switch 2 on Dbrand's website. And when you buy this case for your thing that has the extra grippy things, is it not on stream? Let me put it on stream.
It's not on stream.
There you go. So here it is. And so it gives you something to hold on to. And you'll see, yes, it covers the whole Switch too, but it comes with a dock adapter, so you can still dock it while it's in the case.
Okay.
And that, like, you know, lets the kickstand work. And here you go. Look at these grips.
Yeah. If the ones that I bought that are out for delivery now don't work, I will have to remember D-brand.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Sorry. I distracted you.
No, it's fine. But basically, I couldn't put a dent in that tier two boss, no matter what build I tried to do.
It's a difficult Mega Bonk is a bit of a difficult game. And I finally, you know, I was watching some people play it, and they had tips and ways that they do their builds that are a little different than what I was doing, and that's been helping me. The number one thing to remember is the Aegis Shield is the biggest crutch in the game, so get that on no matter what. And then actually one of the nicest tomes to get is the XP tome, because yep. You end up getting so many extra levels. And then this is the part that I'm working on now. Cranking up difficulty and stuff is what you're supposed to do, because it spawns more enemies, which leads to more experience, which gets you higher level ups on all your weapons and tomes, and it's a whole thing. I have beaten the stage 2 boss on both desert and forest. I have not beaten the stage 3 boss on anything yet, so I'm still working on getting better. And
yeah, I might go back to it at some point. I just feel like that they mask the fact that there's only 2 levels by making the tier 2s way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But and it sucks, because I was having so much fun with the game, but hitting that brick wall just killed my motivation for wanting to continue. And another survivor / bullet hell heaven came out that I had been hearing rave reviews, and thanks to having already owning Vampire Survivors, I could get it at like a dollar discount. Ball Cross Pit.
This is the thing that the Devolver Digital Direct was all about, and it's out now, so it's like Arkanoid but a roguelike. Survivors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's somebody took Breakout and made it extreme.
Breakout Extreme.
and it is so fun. And Chris, I didn't know there was a town building aspect to this.
What? I didn't remember that either. If that was something that was in the direct, I forgot.
So that you get blueprints in the levels, and you can use those blueprints to give you like new characters and buffs and stuff, and like there's synergy with the different buildings. So like if certain buildings are surrounding like wheat fields, they'll automatically harvest from the wheat fields, or there are certain buildings that will like give the other adjacent characters extra EXP and stuff, and I need to go see like some kind of building guide to put together like an Optium town. But just the combination of the town building and the Arkanoid / Breakout stuff has been addictive as hell. This game has been my jam. I was actually kind of I bought it on Steam because it's Steam Deck compatible. And then when I saw that there was a Switch 2 version, I was like, damn, I should have waited so that I could play it on my shiny new system. But at least I won't have to back out of Pokemon ZA to play it, since it's on a different system. So maybe that was a good thing. But oh my God, Chris, this game is awesome.
I haven't played it yet. I wanted to try and finish up. Yeah, there is, but I wanted to finish up Mega Bonk first. And Mega Bonk just keeps taking more time and more time.
Yeah, I didn't really regret dropping Mega Bonk for this, because I find this so much more fun, and I'm actually making progress with this. Plus, each character that you unlock has a level up system, and their level ups not only give them better stats, but also upgrade each character's building, so that their buildings get different buffs and stuff, and that's really cool. But I can't get enough of this game.
You want to explain to people how it works?
Yeah, so you're playing a character that's shooting balls at an ever-moving line of enemies that's like coming down at you. You know, just like Breakout. I mean, that's the best way I could describe it, like Breakout. Well, what's the difference between Breakout and Arkanoid? Because I never
There
played
isn't.
Arkanoid. Okay.
Who made it?
I've
Which one
never
came
played either.
first? Whether or not there's power-ups. Like DX Ball was really popular when I was in college, and that was a DirectX like Arkanoid Breakout clone. And yeah, I remember that stuff. So the this looks great because it's just streams of balls being sent out to break these oncoming hordes of enemies that are coming at you, kind of like a Tetris board.
Yeah, it reminds me of Space Invaders,
Yeah.
actually. And you can adjust the game speed on the fly. So if you're struggling, because I'm playing at max speed right now, but if I was struggling, I would bump it down to the lowest speed to kind of be able to dodge things better because there's stuff constantly coming at you. And if anything makes it to the bottom row, then it'll do really bad damage. So you've got to be constantly moving and trying to take out the biggest threat at once. And then there's also boss fights. And like I'm playing as a character that's a dual character right now. So they shoot in opposite directions. And I think one side does a little bit less damage than the other. And like that character, the hitboxes are completely separate, so you can dodge things by having projectiles go in between the two characters. And that's kind of an important deal, knowing where your hitbox is, because I mean this is just as much a shoot 'em up as it is a Breakout clone. And the boss fights are really fun and challenging. And I've only unlocked three levels so far, and you have to beat the level with multiple characters to unlock new levels. So it kind of encourages you to try out different characters and different builds and stuff like that. And the different balls you can get are like lightning ball, freeze ball. There's like laser upgrades that shoot lasers across the grid with the enemies that you can upgrade to be like super lasers. There's AoE attacks like earthquakes and stuff that you can upgrade to do a bigger AoE. It's so versatile and so fun and satisfying. And the different projectiles can evolve and fuse together to make bigger, better versions of the projectiles, like having a poison ball that also freezes and stuff like that. So they put, I mean, this isn't just your average survivor clone. They put a lot of effort into making this game unique and fun. And I think it's a steal at $15. Because I think that I haven't unlocked a lot of content yet because I've been dying a lot. But I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of content to chew through in this. I don't know if I've sold you on the game.
Oh no, I'm sitting here putting it in my cart, so I'm just doing it off screen. So yeah. It's in this I'm starting to get a debt of these really interesting indie games this year because I also want to try out Clover Pit, which is like Balatro but slot machines in hell.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Oh, too many games. Too many games. And tactics. I should start playing tactics. I want to start playing tactics, but I haven't.
And
Yeah.
I forgot that I had bought the new Rune Factory game and was waiting to play it until I got my Switch 2 so that it would run a little bit better. That's probably what I'm going to end up playing after I get done with Pokemon. But then I also was like browsing the eShop, like, wait, Power Wash Simulator 2 comes out next week. And it's on Switch 2. Ah,
Well, we know what
that
Kelly
is.
will be doing.
That is like pure dopamine. I'm also frustrated that I found out this week that there's a VR version of Power Wash Simulator, which is like, oh, I want to get this one too, but it's gonna make me sick as a dog, and I'm gonna and gonna end up leaving it anyway for the sequel.
Probably skip that, Kelly.
Yeah, I know. Just the idea of actually controlling my little power washer seems so fun, but I also I love playing in VR, but that's definitely a platform that you can't play for hours at a time without dying. And Power Wash Simulator is very much a game where it's like just put on a podcast and chill.
In dizzying VR.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this has been a banger year for games. I'm gonna have to stop myself next week on vacation from just not gaming all vacation because I have miniatures I want to work on too, and I also need to clean the house, and the kitten search has been kind of
Oh yeah.
Vaughn wants a fluffy kitten,
Uh-oh.
and my area has no fluffy kittens.
Go to the shelter and pick the one that wants you. The end.
Yeah. We haven't had a fluffy kitten in our family yet, and I've been
Yeah.
like, we both kind of been like, we really would love to have a fluffy baby.
It's time for a fluffers.
There just hasn't been any. There was a really cute little flame point kitten yesterday, but that one went pretty quick.
See, I like looking for the cat that can't, that keeps getting passed over.
No, I know. I know, but believe me, if I had the room, I would have all of them.
Fair enough.
I was watching a little documentary on Lord British yesterday and how he has he was it was over his Britannia Manor and all his little nerd things like having skeletons and crossbows and stuff. And I'm thinking, like, man, if I had Lord British FU money, I would just have a house full of cats with their own little highways. Oh, and you're on Kitten Academy now.
Yeah, now that we're talking about, kittens.
Oh, and the issue is that a lot of the cats, that, like, the majority of the kittens at the shelter now look way too much like the one we lost. And we both kind of can't deal with ones that look just like the standard issue, which is hard because this is the
It's the
standard
standard
issue.
issue, yeah.
Yeah. Basically the scamper clone. They did have a fluffy one a couple of days ago that looked like my childhood cat Penelope, like pretty close, but Vaughn said it looked too much like Jack.
All right.
But he didn't get a chance to spend very much time with Penelope, so he couldn't see it. Yeah, I was watching Kitten Academy's video the other day where he was doing the house tour, and that house that they got is freaking amazing.
Yeah, they recently moved to a new area, and we're
In
talking about a kitten
Connecticut.
foster on YouTube called Kitten Academy. And yeah, so they're in Pennsylvania now, and
Oh, I thought it
new
was
house.
Connecticut. Or
Oh,
that was the old
no, that was
house,
the old
wasn't it?
house. Yeah.
Okay. But they've got this house that's like in the woods that it looked like it had like a different house attached to it.
Nice.
Yeah. With the spiral staircase. And I guess the garage was big enough that the previous owner would like bring their little prop plane into the garage.
I
I don't
haven't
know.
watched the house tour, so I don't know. But
Yeah.
yeah, we
It was
should.
a neat
Kelly,
it
we
was a
got a
neat
lot more
house
games
tour.
to get to though.
I know, I
So
know. I've been taking over. I am so sorry.
no, it's fine.
I didn't even get put the Bubsy demo on the list because I knew that I wanted to talk a lot of Pokemon and Ball Cross Pit.
Is it a, is that demo any good?
Oh God, yes.
It is. Okay.
Whoever's devving that game definitely took inspiration from Cat Mario for Bubsy's controls, put it
All
that
right.
way. But the internet has collectively said, like, oh my God, a Bubsy game that's actually good. This is gonna be trippy.
Who's
That
voicing Bubsy? They feel familiar to me.
it's not anybody we
Oh,
know,
okay. All right.
but they did study under Sonic's most recent voice actor, whose name is Roger Craig Smith. So
Oh.
he's definitely got that Roger Craig Smith snark to him.
Gotcha.
But that game is pretty fun. I can't wait for that to come out fully, because I played that last Sunday morning, because the demo came out the previous day for Next Fest, and that was pretty fun. But that's not an RPG, so I didn't put it on my list.
All right. I'm going to go next because I'm going to be fast. We talked about Megabonk already. That's what I've been playing mostly because I beat Quartet. I finished it. Yay. Game complete. Story over. And now, yesterday, a new patch for Quartet came out.
That's another game on my list that I want to get to.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. And it's inexpensive and it doesn't take too long to get through. And it's very well written. And I'm excited to like look into Quartet in a couple months when a bunch of patched in content gets added in, and then maybe either make another run or just do some end game running around and stuff. So yeah, love Quartet. But I'm more
And that's a
interested.
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Is that's a Steam only
Right now, yeah.
right now?
It,
Oh,
yeah, it's going to be kind of like Switch and stuff eventually.
okay. I might just wait for another
Yeah,
console
that's what Andy's
ports.
doing. Yep. All right. I want to hear from Ryan because he's been playing stuff for the Next Fest.
Before I get started, I just want to tease Kelly a little bit. Said Bubsy's voice actor isn't anyone we know. They also voiced Rene Schwarzer, so I don't think anyone knows a Trails game.
Oh, okay.
Kelly.
Well, it just wasn't a name that I recognized. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to diminish Rene Schwarzer's voice actor. I just didn't recognize the name.
Nope, you're fired. Sorry.
Diminishing
Okay.
Rene Schwarzer is fine because Trails in the Sky First Chapter remake is, well, I was going to say is much better, but Cold Steel is what got me into the franchise. So being able to play the origination of the franchise in Liberal Kingdom was a lot of fun. And no, there wasn't enough dialogue, despite me have there's so many moments where there's just new dialogue to talk to villagers and stuff. Like, if you're a completionist where you have to do that kind of thing, you go crazy. But if you enjoy the little side stories, there's so many of them that I know just build and build. Some get paid off within the one game, but others will go into future titles and just there's nothing like a Trails game. And it's the first time I've experienced the new combat system when I played through it. So I like love swapping between action and turn-based. Go through action just long enough to make turn-based go quicker, seamless, no load times or anything. And stories second, like the Nun just in its scope and everything. So I look very much forward to the second chapter when it comes out. And I'll segue that into the Steam Next Fest. I chose games that we didn't cover on the site, so they're purposely indie games. Well, there's one that we have covered in the past, but that one's called Aether and Iron. It was a detective game. Not detective, sorry, I'm getting mixed up with another one I played. Part of playing 10 demos in the last 72 hours, they, as much as you don't want them to blur together, they sometimes can.
Fair
But
enough.
Aether and Iron is a narrative RPG set in like a alternate 1930s New York era, except everything of I think they call it decopunk on there. I don't know how to describe decopunk easily. It's kind of like sci-fi versions of 1930s cars that are flying, and the combat is entirely vehicle combat. So you're basically on a stretch of base like highway, and you're shooting from your car at other cars and stuff like that. You're a smuggler that's trying to bring a debutante down to the lower levels. It's very class societal. You have upper and lower, upper being rich, lower being poor. and you're a smuggler from the lower parts. There's that's trying to go up in the world, but you're down on your luck because you made one mistake. Stories that could be very interesting. The gameplay was interesting. I'm a little worried over a typical CRPG type length, like if how they'll shake it up, but it the novelty of actually going through with vehicles was cool. Don't see that too often with fighting or tactical combat where it's all in a car. And the other ones I went through, there was one called Stabjack. And Stabjack is a first person roguelike deck builder where you draw cards to make blackjack.
Oh.
And the closer you get to 21, the more damage you can do. And it's very simplistic, but has its layers in it because I didn't get to experience what it would be like using like flushes or anything like that to see if how it affects damage. But you can have, say, a six of spades, you put a guard on that, so it gives double the amount of guard. So if you're being attacked by one of the enemies, building your 21 isn't just 20 making 21. You have things that will do extra damage, bleed, poison, and it's just sped by relatively quick. There's a lot of built like building your building the deck as best you can, like a roguelike deck builder would. It's just the visuals of it that it looks like a comic book styling, and the first person visuals of just seeing your hand out with a knife, which in itself the knife's a little entertainingly odd because it's a talking knife that's possessed by the spirit of your dead wife who you find at the beginning of the game.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my wife is dead. And then the knife starts talking to you. And you're like, well, this is because your character's narrating. It's like, this is weird. My wife is talking to me through a knife.
So it is your literal knifeu.
Yes.
Kelly.
And
What? I'm surprised that you didn't beat me to that.
I know.
Naifu is best waifu, of course. And yeah, the guy, he's this is where the detective part comes in. He's a detective that, well, is now trying to find out what happened to his wife because he walked in like, oh, I'm supposed to meet her for dinner. And like, oh, why is she dead on a table with a knife sticking out of her? And someone comes in to try attacking you, you pull the knife out and defend yourself. And it was just a very interesting visual style to have for a deck builder. So thought I would check it out. And it's a smaller staff, so there's nothing too fancy with it or anything like that. But it usually when you're playing Steam Next Fest, you're finding a game that has a quirk. And this had a quirk that was like, okay, this is worth checking out. And
I am amused at the amount of games that Balatro has inspired.
yes. That's not stopping anytime soon. I'm sure it's going to continue forever. The next one, which I didn't really play too much of, but is still worthwhile to mention for others, was a game called The Myth of The Myth of a God Slayer, which reminded me a bit of Prince of Persia's sound effects and moving around. But the actual moving, sorry, and vibe was Geomythica, which was an indie game that came out earlier this year, and Beyond the Oasis, I think it was called on Genesis. So there's not a lot of 3D RPGs with giant characters where you solve a lot of puzzles. And it stood out for just its general like size and movement and that, and it seemed very fluid for the gameplay that it was showing. And I had never heard of it in any way, shape, or form until Steam Next Fest. So it's
So it's an
something
action
to keep an eye
RPG,
on.
but looks like it's on a Genesis.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow, that does look like Beyond Oasis.
And we see a lot of indie-inspired games from things like Earthbound and Chrono Trigger, but you don't get too many. So when I see like a Beyond Oasis-inspired one, like, yeah, It's at least different, and I'm glad that there's more variety in inspirations these days. So hopefully it does well, and figured I'd mention it quick here for anyone who would be interested. And the last Steam Next Fest game though that I played was called Escape from Ever After, and this one is Paper Mario inspired, but in the best ways. Because you're working at an agency that employs storybook characters, and Sherlock Holmes was sent to deduce and scout a new storybook to join the agency. And I don't think Flint and Tinder have their two character names. One's a little dragon who breathes fire, and the other one's just, a dopey boy kind of thing who's just throws a buckler. Still very entertaining characters. I just don't think they have storybook analogy with them. The third member of the party, though, is a bard who's Wolfgang, the wolf from the Three Little Pigs that was mentioned in the game. And it's just the timing was very well done on the combat. Every attack you do with the characters you play as has a different timing mechanic to it, so you don't really get bored of just doing, time like hit X now kind of thing. You have hold the button for an amount of time. You have hit the timing at the beginning of the hit of like when you throw the buckler, as compared to when you hit do the headbutt, where it has to be just before you headbutt the actual enemy. And it's just basically, for me anyway, dripping in charms, and that the paper visuals fit so well with something like a storybook atmosphere.
Yeah, this is 100% Paper Mario vibes, and it looks like it's nailing it.
And just the campiness of the story and how it bounces around, it brings a smile to your face, if not an actual laugh, almost every time you do a new dialogue scene. So I'm very much looking forward to see where this one ends up.
Pretty much all these aren't out till next year, right?
First quarter for most of them in this aspect. First quarter 2026 for all of them that have release dates. Some of them are just the coming soons. And but I didn't just play games with Steam Next Fest as well. I already mentioned I finished up with Trails in the Sky first chapter, but after that, I'll just say briefly, I played and beat a Kemco game for an upcoming backtrack. It was the first one that was actually developed by like one of the Kemco teams, and Kemco games are about what I expected they would be. And the way I had kind of thought of it after I beat the game was, if RPG Maker is, a Build-A-Bear Workshop where everything's all set up, you just get something very routine. Kemco just kind of went, we can do that better. This person knows how to sew, make stuff. And they just, everything's just so weirdly janky in what they do. And you can tell it's built from the ground up because it doesn't quite play like an already made system. But they didn't really work with anything. The one I played was called Tears Revolude, and they just made some design choices in a, it's an isometric dungeon crawler that's turn-based combat. And while you're doing the isometric walking around, you also see through a first-person view in a small little box that never matters.
Wait, hold on. I missed something here. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Chemco alert. Chemco alert. Okay. There we go. Now we're good.
And story's just weirdly cheesy. And yeah, like this, if it wasn't a short game, I would just, I'm not sure I would have wanted to continue with it. But when you can cheese bosses by having a controller equipped, like plugged into your computer, just makes it entertaining to me. Because limit breaks in the game have a mechanic where you basically are drawing almost like it was on the DS, like a star shape, for example.
Yeah.
But if you use a controller, you just use the analog stick, you can button mash it.
Oh, okay.
So instead of doing one or two, which is probably what the game expects, you're doing like 13 like times doing it.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, and I just one shot the boss. Awesome.
Nice.
That's funny.
And they're like 10-minute long dungeons, and I'm sure there's enough of them that it lasted like 6, 7 hours, but it's just, I'm like, blink, and it was over. I beat it on a Sunday. Like, I couldn't get, you can't get mad at a Kenpo game. The only thing I get mildly irritated by is that there's bargain Kemco out there. Because when I was younger and I didn't have nearly as much expendable income, Kemco was always too expensive for what it looked like. And then Alderleya Games, which releases more titles than Kemco does, is usually on sale for like 99 cents. So I'm like, well, I'll buy Alderleya Games instead.
Oh my
But
gosh, saying there's something that I need to alert on even more than Kemco?
I don't think
Oh,
anyone knows, like, I don't think anyone plays these, so you don't have the
but look at
Kemco alert.
this. What is this one? Pets versus aliens. When your heroes are not good enough, all hope seems lost. Not yet. Two faithful companions kickstart the revolt. Tired of the same old formula? Silly as an RPG. Oh my god. This description's too long. Anyway, looks like cats and dogs save the world in this one. But man, yeah, this is budget indie as heck. Wow.
Two titles down from, I believe the one you just looked at
Yeah,
was a
this was
game they called
Scylla. Or,
Thesaurus.
yeah, go ahead.
They made an RPG called Thesaurus. So,
Thesaurus.
yes.
They made one called Mother, which is okay, fine.
Yeah, like
Thesaurus.
it.
So do they use a lot of synonyms to describe things in this game, or like?
I couldn't tell you. I just, while I was looking at it,
Wow, I can't
because
believe
I.
we found something that's even more. Wait, this isn't even published by Alderleya. This is Anima Games. I'm so confused
Which
now.
just seems to be an offshoot of all, like,
Oh,
it's
okay, great. All right.
just like Kemco, they have all those offshoots and stuff. It's
I
still
didn't know they
somehow
had
under the same
offshoots.
banner.
I didn't know they have offshoots.
Well, remember, Kemco is the publisher, not the developer for a lot
Right.
of those weird RPGs.
It's a weird rabbit hole to go down. Is like it's. Playing these games, including the Kemco one I played, made me realize that I can play a game with, for a decently long time with mediocre combat. Like, it doesn't have to be amazing, but that also means that I kind of need to remind myself I don't need to play mediocre as much as I sometimes do. Like, play the good stuff. Good stuff is good for a reason. And that's my disclaimer for anyone who looks at Kemco and goes, but it's only it's only $5. Like, there's a bunch of other indie games that are better than anything Kemco. Buy them for $5.
But what about Elder Leia?
Alderleya is, you're drunk one day and you forgot you bought
I
it, and then
thought
you
that's
play
what
it from the game.
Kemco was for. I
Yeah,
went
but
to the
you
Elder
can.
Leia official website. It's just a PHP bulletin board. That's amazing. Just directs you to their bulletin board. That's it. That's their site.
And there's more games on the bulletin board that aren't available on Steam. And they released 13 games, I think, this year, and not one since July. So they went at a two games a month clip for 2025.
Well, this is great. They've got it broken up into eras, the 2016 to 2021 era, the 2009 to 2015 era, and then I guess everything current is what's on the boards right now. Okay. I need to come up with a new alert sound effect for Elder Leia, but
It's just the foghorn. Yep.
fair enough.
Just an FYI, our Kimco episode was delayed a week, so it will be the week after this week when it gets recorded.
Whoop, whoop. Chemco alert. Incoming Kemco focused RPG backtrack. You have
This
been
is not a
warned.
drill.
This is not a drill. All right, so we should drill into what people answered to the question of the week, shouldn't we?
We only had one answer.
Okay.
We asked, what is your favorite bedside gaming setup? Pillows, tablet arms, your stomach, a cat? From strawberry eggs, I just use two pillows to rest my head while lying in bed to play a handheld. I don't tend to game in bed though, because I will inevitably fall asleep in 30 minutes or less.
Well, that's very. I'm jealous.
They say that you're not supposed to do activities in bed other than sleeping.
I mean, that's for people having trouble sleeping and getting good night's sleeps. That's one of the things that they suggest cutting out to see if that works for you. But,
See, I thought that that was just a rule of thumb all around.
well, I mean, yes, but who is seeking that advice? People who are having trouble sleeping or people who are not having trouble sleeping? People who are
No,
having
that's
trouble
true.
sleeping.
I'm sure it doesn't do wonders for health or posture, though, spending too much time on or in a bed.
I mean, usually at the end of the evening when I'm feeling kind of tired, and it's like I might as well migrate to the bed so that when I do inevitably get eepy, that's the joke.
Eepy. I'm eepy. Wee-hoo.
That way I can just pass right out without having to migrate upstairs. Otherwise, I'll be passed out in my recliner.
Two pillows to rest my head while laying in bed to play handheld. So they're on their back then. Okay. That's what I do, but I have to use a stand for that. I can't hold it up.
And see, I have used to have a giant, well, I mean, I still have it. I used to, when I would lay on my side and play my Switch or my Steam Deck, I had a giant D20 that worked really well for kind of spacing my
Yeah.
arms while I was laying on my side. But then both two of my girl cats, Lita and Alice, had decided at night that nighttime is lay on my chest time. So
Now they
instead, I've
space
had,
it.
yeah, no, well, no, I will have to lay on my back to accommodate them because they won't lay on my side. So it is what it is. The kitties have top priority.
My only thought when it comes to this is people play games while they're comfortable. Imagine how much more I would play if I was actually comfortable.
What does that mean?
Well, I think I've mentioned in the past, I don't have a desk or anything like that. So when I play PC games, it's on a laptop that's resting on top of a box, and I'm sitting cross-legged on my bed. That is the most comfortable spot I've found. And if you try typing on a laptop, I'm 6'2", so I'm basically bent in half while sitting cross-legged for multiple hours. And then at least recently, I have a big enough TV now in the living room that I can actually sit or lay on the couch. The issue in that instance is that my couch is from the 1980s. So it's still decent for a couch that's that old, but no one would, take a look at it and go, this is a comfortable place to spend 6 hours playing a in-depth talking to villager session of Trails in the Sky.
Okay.
Do we want our new question of the week with to be what next fest game did piqued your interest?
I think we've tried that and it didn't go well in the past.
Oh, it's just a thought. Maybe something will come up.
What was the last demo that you did play? Actually, I think we've tried that in the past too.
I'm now looking at D20 dice pillows and I need to close this. So, Scar suggests the question is, what do you do in bed? And I'm thinking, no, that's not going to be the question of the week.
Yeah, you're inviting certain answers that I know you won't like.
Top one should be sleep, I hope, but we'll see. Or we won't see because we're not doing that.
Or another S word.
All right. Kelly.
Yes.
News.
News. Story of Seasons Grand Bazaar is getting a happy bingo update.
What does that mean?
It means that you get a little bingo card that has various activities on it that give you bonuses for completing said activities.
Oh, okay.
It's actually kind of cute. See, is Grand Bazaar already out? It's a remake of the DS one and available
Yes.
now for PC, Switch, and Switch 2.
So, yeah, it's out. This is the 1.1.0 patch, apparently.
It's the one I remember least of the Fantasy Life, Rune Factory, and Story of Seasons trilogy that came out in the last couple months.
Well, it's kind of hard to remember to keep track of them now, because there's Story of Seasons, but there's also Harvest Moon, and then the spinoffs.
I don't know. I think more important is the Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky First Chapter remake.
Yes, it's got an update out now that includes a first person mode. You gonna go back and play it and to play the game in first person, Ryan?
Don't think I will, but that's because the one playthrough took 109 hours. So I'm good with a second playthrough for a little
Who
bit.
was asking for this?
I mean, I do like it when games have that option, when just because I like looking at the scenery,
All
and
right then.
it's easier to do that when there is a first person view.
Apparently there's a Switch and Switch 2 release coming soon as well. And yeah, that's about it. So, version 1.05 available now.
Shows that they
Borderlands.
care.
Oh, go ahead.
Shows that they care at least a little bit because a lot of bigger RPGs like that wouldn't keep adding after release. So they're at least doing something to try to get more eyes on it, so that's good.
Or maybe it was a feature they wanted to implement but couldn't finish in time.
Also true.
Borderlands is getting stuff.
Yeah, the first wave of DLCs has been revealed.
For Borderlands 4, that is, but
Or
yeah.
Borderlands 4, sorry.
Yeah.
The Bounty Pack 1, How Rush Saved Mercenary Day, will be out on December 20th.
It's their Christmas DLC.
I find it so funny that Pitchford said that the game wasn't going to be on sale anytime soon, and the game is already too
It's on
small.
sale? Is it
It might the
No.
sale might be done now. It was something I saw earlier this week, but
Nope, still ongoing on Steam, 20% off.
It is on sale. Look at that. Don't listen to game publishers, folks. Never listen to game publishers. They always lie. Well, not always. But don't trust them. Check. All right. Anyway, Borderlands 4 DLC. Yeah, that's out. All right. Cool. And on sale. What's next?
Genshin Impact version Luna 2 releasing next week. What is version Luna 2?
It's Genshin Impact, so this is just what they're naming their updates now. Stuff
Okay.
like that.
New area, new characters, new quests, and more.
Yeah, it's give us more money is what they're asking for. Roll more gotchas.
And then a story I could not wait to get to this week because of you, Chris.
I
We've
have
got a
to.
new Dissidia coming out.
Oh, is it Duodecim?
No, it's Duolum.
D what?
Duolum.
Duolum. Duolum.
But if you're going to go with the over-the-top Japanese pronunciation, it would probably be Duolum.
Duolum. Duolum. Duolum. I don't. I
So,
need to. I'm trying to find the video so I can listen to how they say it because I hope they have an announcer who just says it at the end like they did with Duodecim or with Duodecim. But let's see.
it's a new free-to-play title for iOS and Android, and it's a 3v3
There is no
monster.
pronunciation, and this is free-to-play garbage, isn't it?
Yes.
No!
Monster Hunt. It's a 3v3 monster or boss battle arena where you have to take out a large boss before the rival team. And that's not the weird part. The weird part is that all of the characters are dressed for like modern times.
Listen to this
They're not going to
character
do anything with
selection.
that.
This is weird. They've got Warrior Light from Fantasy 1, Kane from Final Fantasy 4, so Scar will be happy. Krile from Final Fantasy 5, Terra from 6, Cloud from 7, Rinoa from 8, Zidane from 9, Lightning from 13, and 13-2 and 13-3, Gaia from 14, which is weird since she's like a side, she is a side story character in one of the expansions. She's not, I don't know why they chose her. And then Prompto from 15. Rinoa's more popular than Squall, but that doesn't explain Gaia or Prompto.
I imagine they were trying to go for more kind of scrappy high school looking characters.
And then 8-year-old Kryle.
I guess.
Oh yeah, how old is Kryle, and do they use her 14 model, or is this a different Kryle?
I mean, all of the models look weird.
Can I find
Warrior of Light?
Well, he's never looks right. That I've given up on Warrior of Light making sense.
Warrior of Light just looks like Cecil.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Kryle just looks like
involved. Enjoyed their paychecks. They won't be coming for much longer.
Kryle art looks like lady in a swimsuit with a cape in a forest with some knee highs. That's very weird. But that's not the modern. Where this video is terrible. That Kryle? I guess I don't know anymore. Okay, cool. Anyway, free to play though, and this is just a Android sign up for a test on October 28th or something. Then you can tell us if Dissidia Duelum is any good. Just duel them.
Yeah, duel them together. Duel them.
I just find this just to be kind of a weird announcement, given that they already had kind of a multiplayer game that didn't even last a year.
That was like a good game, wasn't it?
It was a Fortnite clone.
Oh. I thought there's a Dissidia that's still available, though, that was in the arcades and on home consoles.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
There's
and
that
he
one.
He might still be existing somewhere. I was a big fan of the free-to-play, yes, it was Gacha, turn-based RPG called Opera Omnia. So this announcement just annoyed me on a second level.
But they canceled the game you liked and replaced it with one that looks weird.
It looks like send us money, you like these characters.
Yeah, this looks more like push buttons on cooldowns rather than do fighting game moves.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because Dissidia is about doing fighting game moves, I thought. No? I haven't played it much, so you tell me.
Dissidia is more of a Smash Brothers.
Smash? Okay, alright. That's still fighting game moves. More than just tapping icons to execute move. You have to, basic combos.
I say Smash because I think that's a little bit more rudimentary than, like, Street Fighter.
Yeah. But, like, you still have strategy and choose moves and do different things based on your inputs. This just looks more like press button, C, move.
There's no doubt that there's more there that Smash has strategy. That's why I'm not a professional Smash player, because I suck.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Smash gameplay is more one button moves versus Street Fighter, which is, the half moon moves and combos and all of that fun stuff. Am I making any sense?
You are. I'm just trying to understand this game and why it exists. But you know what? Rinoa brought Angela with her, so that's fine.
Does she launch him?
I don't know. What I know.
This is the game that if there was any disbelief that Square Enix is being run by corporate rather than gamers at this point.
I think we knew that already.
Yeah, but there are some people that still like to think, they're coming out with this now. They're coming out with that now. Maybe they're turning a new leaf.
We can justify for forever. Like, okay, come on. I know I'm older than you, so I've seen this song and dance before, but like, we can do so many gymnastics as gaming fans to justify the actions of our favorite companies. And you know what this is? This is to satisfy the shareholders and the business people so that the real game makers at Square Enix can play the good games that are and make the good games that are for us. So that it's all strategy because they actually have our best interests in mind. Well, did it work? I convince you?
No,
I didn't mean either.
don't understand the need to want to appease this pretend market that thinks mobile is still viable.
I mean, mobile is viable. You just need the right game, right?
I don't know. What's the big popular game on mobile?
Fortnite?
Yeah,
so. Stuff like that. Like it. And, you know, Genshin Impact, we just talked about, like, that's people paying money for that. People are shelling out. the horse game, millions of dollars. So it's like, you can hit on mobile still. And the highly produced mobile games that people are consuming in mass quantities, they print more than traditional game development.
And I mean, we're old cynical bastards, so we poo-poo on mobile, but you know, there's people out there that are like, why would I spend $70 on a game when I can play this mobile game for free and spend a couple of bucks on holes, you know?
Mm-hmm. And all that stuff adds up, and you got the whales on mobile, and the problem for us is we play so many games that we start to see the pattern amongst the mobile games, and it's like, I've already done this, and I don't need this game that only exists to like abuse my dopamine receptors. It's like, I need to do something else with my time.
That's exactly it. And there's one day, and I just hope it doesn't come to a good game involved. The RPG market is not going to just go Square Enix, Final Fantasy. That means it's going to be great.
Well, we've been saying that's not been the case for a while.
They're still, if they're not, they haven't gone under.
Sure.
They haven't started to, but they're close to it, I suppose, with all the re-releases because they need to make enough money to try throwing the next thing against the wall.
I think people don't assume it's going to be good because 15 and 13 exist, right? But I think that games, how do I put this? They're good enough to sell still, even off the brand name. And then they do put enough effort into Final Fantasy and enough money into Final Fantasy, and they don't develop it as a free-to-play, that you end up with a product that, even if it's not your favorite Final Fantasy, at least stands up, is okay.
My big issue with mobile games these days and why I stopped playing them is they feel the need to have a billion different currencies.
Yep.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
Just give me the free currency and the premium currency, and that's all I care about.
Nah, give me one currency and just give it to me for free sometimes.
That too.
Yeah, even better, right? Yeah, but they're not going to do that. That doesn't work for the money model.
It's how I describe, though.
Yeah. But so, like, if you if you've got the multiple currencies, that's how you know you probably shouldn't play it. The end. Done. Move on. I don't know. There is certainly a lot more vocal hatred of Square over the past 10 to 20 years, I think, than the earlier years for Square. So it's like, I think that cynicism's already in there, and people are skeptical by default now rather than just accepting it's going to be great. I think we have learning that once the companies get to a certain size, you can't trust them anymore, assuming you even could to begin with. And Square's there, Nintendo's there, a lot of other companies are there.
I think I'm just bitter with some of the bigger named RPG franchises and games where it's like, oh, I played this and it's terrible. And it's like, here's a list of 30 games that are exactly like you're complaining about that are from smaller developers or smaller companies. And then they end up saying, well, I'm not going to play those at all. I'm just going to go back and play a Final Fantasy I hated 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you've already played it. You know it's bad. Why are you playing it again? And that's probably where this kind of comes from, like at the heart of it, because earlier you had mentioned mobile games, like once you've seen them, like you see a pattern. Like I've seen this pattern. I've seen that exact UI that is used for this Dissidia game, and it's just going to flame out if people even buy it in the first place. Ah.
Hold on, there's a quote I'm trying to come up with. Let's see if I can find it. I don't know. Oh man, I wish I could find the quote. Shoot. So there's a thing going on that's like true for everybody. Oh, is it? No, it's not. So when you're young, things that are out when you're young, you accept as just the way the world is. Things that come out when you're a teen to a young adult is like the new next best thing, and you get used to it, and you think people who don't like it are silly and stuck in the past. And then once you're like 35 to the rest of your life, everything that comes out is like completely unnecessary. Things were better the way they were before. It just doesn't even matter what it is that comes out. And that doesn't apply to this completely, but I start thinking about like when these discussions, when we start looking at the past of a company and comparing it to the current of a company, that sort of thing is always on my mind. Is like, am I thinking about this fairly, or am I letting that sort of bias that because I don't want to learn how to do a new thing or play a new way, or for the sake of your Final Fantasy friends, I don't want to go attach myself to a new publisher because Square is comfortable and I know them. Am I being affected by that bias? And maybe I think maybe need to try the new thing and be more flexible in my thinking. And I think, yeah, right now, man, indie games are good.
I mean, it's kind of a little bit of both with us and our age, because when we were young and the Nintendo was out, that's all we had and that's what we accepted. And then when we were teenagers, the PlayStation was out and that was the new hotness. And now that we're adults, we live in the age of the Battle Pass and the free to play gotcha, and it's just hard to really pinpoint whether or not it's us or whether or not it's the trends, because you got to admit the trends kind of suck right now.
Not all of them, though. I think,
Not all of them.
yeah, and that's kind of the key. And you're right. What part of it is the bias of like it's a new thing that I'm just not familiar with, therefore it's bad? And what part of it is like, no, this is actually just bad. And the only way you're going to get there is discussing it with other people with different viewpoints. And what do they like about it? And what do you don't dislike about it? How are they squaring that part of the thing? I don't know. I think we have agreement that the free to play model is bad. I think that agreement is there in this case, but whatever. It's always good to question yourself and think like, why do I think that? Unless it comes to like discounting extremely well-researched science, then maybe, you know, read the stuff by the people who put the work in rather than just believing you can outthink the scientists. But let's be careful there. All right. Anyway, what are we talking about? What's up with
It's fun.
Octopath, Kelly? Oh.
No, it's just funny because I was literally just bitching about this the other night, when I was remembering, wow, Angry Birds was a star that
Ugh.
burned bright and then completely burned out.
It was
And it
exploited for money, and it accomplished its goal. They made the money.
Well, I love the original games, but then free to play gotcha became a thing, and then the Angry Birds tried to do that and nobody liked it. And then they pulled all the original games off of the store so that they could push free to play
I
gotcha.
mean, this
And
is, I think, what killed PopCap games.
yeah,
You had your
that
first
too.
Plants vs. Zombies single purchase game. Great. People enjoyed it. And, you know, it didn't outlast its welcome. It was done. You enjoyed it and that. And then from Plants vs. Zombies 2 comes out, and it's mobile free to play with energy and all that stuff. Like, whoa.
I
No.
mean, I in the early teens, I was ready to embrace the new mobile future with like one-time purchase mobile games that were fun. And then the gotcha thing started happening, and after that, it was like, yeah, this
It seemed
sucks.
fine, okay, at first, and then you realize, wait, no, this never ends. The game never ends. The content never stops coming. I can never catch up. And if they close down the game, all that money and all the things I bought is just gone. And you didn't realize that at first. It takes a while to understand that, and you have to live through a couple of them, and you're like, well, shoot, this is how it's going to go. I do need to rethink my opinion here. Anyway, that's all old. We're old. What about Octopath Traveler Zero?
It shows off more characters.
Okay. That's it?
I come from Gacha. Oh, God, no!
No! Well, this is a conversion from a Gacha, but now it's going the direction we want, right? Mm-hmm. From Gacha to single purchase game that has content and an end. Yay! Mm-hmm. I like that. Let's hope they do a good job with it. But when's it out?
When is this out?
And also, this is Square Enix doing... We've got Square Enix doing the bad thing and the good thing. Like, what? This is why the Square Enix discussion is so hard.
December 4th.
We'll see if they do a good job on December 4th, at least in this area. And, like, yeah, Square is tough because you got to really evaluate every game separately. It's so weird. They are diversified. All right. Kelly, is there a Kickstarter I have to pay attention to?
Celestial Return has its Kickstarter underway.
Oh, they met their goal of $5,000.
That's a comically a little amount of money for a gaming Kickstarter, but...
They are at 10K now, which is fine. They have a bunch of stretch goals, though. Their stretch goals currently go all the way up to 80,000. And, yeah. I don't know. Is there a demo and stuff already? Or like, how's this one working? Is it just trust us? It'll be good.
Yeah, it has a demo currently available on Steam.
Oh, okay.
Damn it.
What?
I didn't see.
You didn't see it?
I did not see the play the demo now button on there.
So there it is.
I didn't get play this
one. You didn't play this one. So this has a dialogue system that the layout makes me think. Sorry, I've forgotten the name of it again. The
Disco
one
Elysium?
Yes, Disco Elysium. Thank you. So how does this work? Celestial Return is a story-driven RPG where dice are your bullets, your bribes, and your last breath. Loot, gamble, and survive a reality-crumbling city, whatever that means. Uncover cosmic horrors, outwith corrupted megacorps, and pray your next roll isn't your last. Okay, I don't know. Who knows when this will be out, but... Is this TRP? Just lots of dice rolling. I don't know how it works. Play the demo and check it out.
Funny enough, that's my mind's like, oh, so it's a cross between Blade Prince Academy and Aether and Iron. And I'm like, wait, no, no one knows what those games are. This nope. is not helpful.
No, I've never heard of those. There is a big thing on their Kickstarter, though, that says this is all real art made by a real human, no AI. Apparently, that's something we have to call out now. That makes me sad. But that's where we're at. Kelly, if I want to play Rogue Trader and still haven't played it on PC, are there any new options for me?
Yes, it's coming to Switch 2.
Oh, cool.
Should I pick this up on Switch 2, Delandor?
Considering the amusement it would be if, like, when things are ported to Switch back in the day, it used to be very glitchy and stuff still. So it'll be very entertaining if they manage to do that with Rogue Trader on Switch 2, where people are like, what is this garbage? And like, this is what I played. Vindication.
We'll see how it goes. Owlcat, not known for putting out bugless releases. They are going to have a little bit more wiggle room, though, because it's Switch 2 at least, and it is more powerful, so that should help, I hope. Do we know when coming? No, we don't. Sometime. It's the alpha sometime in quarter 4. What? No, I'm sorry, I confused the two stories.
Yeah, Warhammer 40K Dark Heresy Alpha is going to be available sometime in the quarter 4 and takes place in the same universe as Rogue Trader.
But the Rogue Trader Switch 2 version currently has no date.
As much as the joke will always continue of how much the game broke me when I first played it, obviously it's doing well for them to still have the license and for them to be able to make a second game in that universe. There's also the fact of they had enough time to fix it all. It's a good game when it's not fighting itself. So they take the bugs out of it. People that enjoy CRPGs should check it out.
Okay. Phantom Brigade is getting a version 2.0 update in November. It's going to feature a new pilot system with new recruitment and class specialization elements, with a reimagined overworld, reworked campaign, and various quality of life features. Currently available on PC via Steam. Did anybody play Phantom Brigade?
No, this is a Jonathan Stringer type game. Andy did? Oh, did Andy do a okay.
PAX West 2023 had, or no, I may have played it during that. That's my bad. I'm getting the Brace Yourself games mixed up. I think I played it 2 years ago after 1.0 already had released.
So this isn't a second game. This is a 2.0 update for the game, which is coming out November 19th. Okay, cool. Got it.
Yeah, and when I hear about that many changes taking place, it makes me wonder if the 1.0 wasn't very good.
Who knows? I didn't play it.
So what I remember, it wasn't overly well received. It is
currently trending pretty well. Yeah. 72% positive on recent reviews, 75 overall.
Yeah. And then we've got Demon X Machina Titanic Scion updates, adding new bosses and much more. So it's the version 1.1.1 update that includes two new boss fights and the ability for players to replay side missions.
Okay, cool. I haven't heard anybody talking about Daemon X Machina. Have you? No? Okay. Well, update if you're into it.
Heroes of Might and Magic Olden Era releasing next year with a demo available. Now
that one I did end up playing. I grew up enjoying Heroes of Might and Magic 2, 3, and 4, so one thing, it's like they call it Olden Era, it is very much harkens back to those older Heroes of Might and Magics. The one thing I found a little interesting, at least based off my memory, is it's almost better to let them auto play rather than actually do the fights yourself. Because auto-playing, at least when I tried it, I had less casualties than if I actually, like, it'll ask if you accept the results. And if you don't click yes, you actually go into the combat. Like, hi, I got no, this is an easy fight. I didn't lose anybody. And then I go in and immediately lose three archers. Like, but why bother playing it then? But if you like Heroes of Might and Magic, it's hitting all of the same notes as the older games, which compared to what I've heard of Heroes of Might and Magic 5 and 6, that's an improvement on its own, because people wanted more of what came before, and this goes back to that without actually, you know, treading on the past too much. Like, there's nothing really new or interesting, but it's more Heroes of Might and Magic. And if you're,
I have a problem here of acting like all of Heroes of Might and Magic isn't the Olden Era, because the last one came out in 2015. It's 2025. They're all retro at this point. Even 7.
Accurate.
But yeah, so I guess this is targeting. You think it's 1 through 4 is what they're going for? Because that is a 7-year range on itself. Man. 1 and 2 were spaced by a year. Then 3 was in 99. Then 4 was in 02. Huh.
I admittedly may not be the best.
Like, I just want to know if I can.
Songs of Conquest, which is the most recent indie game to try hitting the same notes, so I don't know how Songs of Conquest compares to the Olden Era.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the developer of this one is, like, the publisher's Hidden Horse, which does a lot of 4X games and that, so like they have
Hooded Horse, but yeah.
Hooded Horse, sorry.
The developer looks new. Genre. It's Team Unfrozen for the developer. This is like their first game, I guess. We are an international team of game dev veterans united by our passion for challenging turn-based games. And, okay, they got Heroes of Might and Magic Olden Era. And there's also Erratus, Lord of the Dead, a turn-based tactical RPG roguelike in a dark fantasy universe. What?
It's that one even of the out? Darkest Dungeon clones.
Oh, is it? Okay. Is it out? Oh, it reviewed well. Okay. Yeah. 2020. Yeah. So, there you go. Sorry, what? I cut you off. The demo. You played demo, though. You played demo and found you needed to use auto attack.
Well, maybe I'm just out of practice, and, you know, in a half hour, you can't really say I learned all the nuances of combat system or anything like that.
I mean, that's fine. My problem has always been that I want to play these games where I, like, build up and develop my empire and then go kill everything on the map. And at least traditionally, Heroes of Might and Magic does not want you to do that. That's bad. The enemies will build up even bigger armies, and you will be completely destroyed by anything you try to fight.
In the short time I was with it, I didn't get a chance to go against, like, the actual enemy bases.
Okay.
But when you're walking around on the map, like, oh, I want to get these resources. The resources are guarded by enemies. And those enemies would actually tell you how likely you are to be able to defeat them. Like, it'll be like easy, normal, difficult, impossible. Do not go here. And mm-hmm. the more you build your army up, the, of course, weaker everything becomes. So it almost feels like depending on who you are, this could be a good or bad thing. It's almost a more hand-holdy version of Heroes of Might and Magic compared to the older days, which could be its version of trying to be more modernized. So it gives you the option if you need it to, because it looks good, but you're just overwhelmed by how much base building and stuff's involved, which I know I'm not overly fond of base building myself. So
that's the part I want to do most, and I found that when you focus on that, it has bad results.
Yeah.
So I stopped trying to play Heroes of Might and Magic games, so I'm interested where this one will slot in, because if it's new and meant to be accessible, it might have an easy mode, and I would love that. But we'll see.
Demo had the option to select easy. There isn't easy. I just play everything on normal.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, if I remember right, this could be one where I'm getting it mixed up with a very similar... There was another Heroes of Might Magic-like game I played as a demo for this week called Disciples Domination, which we had a news article for. And yeah, they're different games. Heroes Might Magic was the one that focused more on base building, so it's the one to keep an eye out for if you enjoy that side of it.
Cool.
Did I already say Ash and Steel is launching in November?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. It's an open world action RPG available for PC and Steam, with the demo available on Steam right now.
Didn't get into the gameplay much, but based entirely off of the dialogue choices and story, this is very janky 3D action RPG, and I know at least one member of our staff and stream team that likes those games.
Yeah, this looks like a Hair Frog game, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like kind of trying to be a modern Witcher clone, right?
It cites Gothic and Witcher as its inspirations.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. Yeah, I can't wait for Hairfrog to play this. And there's a demo.
Seemed a little bit slower than a Witcher, so I'm not as familiar with Gothic, so I'd say it looks and feels more similar to what I saw of that one.
I'm going to put this on my wish list of Hairfrog to play. he says, I played the open beta. It is right in my ballpark. Perfect. Of Jenkins Squeal rather than Ash and Steel. Okay, great. Uh-oh, Chucklefish is pushing its game back.
Yeah, Witchbrook is being delayed to next year.
Mm.
They say why? No, the story doesn't say, just that the game has been pushed back. So I guess more time to polish. This was the Magic Academy Life Sim Was it made by the same people that did Stardew, or is it just
It's being published by them. I think the Stardew person's on something else.
Yeah, that's right. The Stardew person was working on that chocolate game.
And Chucklefish is Wargroove, I think. Yeah.
So there you go. Madam Monogatari is coming to PC in 2026. Hey, you played this, Ryan?
Yes. I've always liked when more people get to, like, it's not just on consoles anymore. It's coming to PC. It'll be a good game to have go to other consoles. And of course, you know, PC, I'm just considering a console by saying that. Funny game. The combat I found a little lagging and repetitive at times, but it gave me the most laughter I've had in a game yet. So still recommend it. If it looks of interest to anybody, check it out. It balances itself out to be an okay game.
I did buy it. I started it up, but I wasn't really feeling it at this moment. Mainly because I kind of just bought it at a bad time, but even though it was on sale, but I will probably go back to it at some point.
I look forward to hearing what you think of it.
It looks very cute, and it's coming to PC sometime next year, and cool.
Wild Keepers is leaving early access this week. This is a creature collecting bullet heaven.
What?
I've only played one Bullet Heaven game, but play this. This was addictive as all heck to me. As I checked out the demo, and from what little I've seen of Bullet Heaven games, you're pretty much just in one area, and they don't really give you much reason to move around, it felt like to me.
I mean, anyway. Bullet Heaven is just Vampire Survivors, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
There's quests in this where you move around. You have a party you build up by collecting the creatures, so you have your human character and up to, as far as I got, at least four different creatures that Ooh. You have to collect while you're on the map moving around.
So this is like being a necromancer in a Diablo game. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's probably how it immediately hit me, actually. And when you get your level ups, you're not just building like your own attack speed in that, it splits between you and your party. So you can make your creatures stronger. You can make yourself stronger in different ways. There's skill trees for each, for everything as well, which add more skills that when every couple of level ups, you get like magic missile or something like that. So it, even doing the same map over and over, there felt like there was a lot of variety, which, if you're making a good Bullet Heaven game, like a Vampire Survivors type, there has to be variety. You can't just be standing there doing nothing.
Right.
And the art style is, I found it very unique, but it's also lists of Akira Toriyama inspired and like other inspirations of well-known, like
Akira Toriyama, Hayao Miyazaki, and Jim Henson. So they're going for the nostalgia for everyone.
And I had a lot of fun with it. There's story aspects of quests that come out and like a real sense of exploration. You go out with one character and your first quest you have to do, which funny enough took me 6 minutes to realize I wasn't just playing of like Vampire Survivors where you're just supposed to kill everything and see how long you survive. It was like, oh no, it's telling me to go southeast. And you save a character who's trying to unlock the first creature. And like they've been out in the wilderness for however long, and you're sent to go find them, which I just thought happened automatically. But no, you actually move your character through the waves of enemies to try finding where this character is. It's just that little extra to everything, including the creature collecting part, where I'm like, okay, I get it now.
And for me, the fun part of a Survivors-like game is trying to unlock everything. Trying to figure out what all is unlockable and how you get to it.
Demo had 6 different creature collectors. Or sorry, not collectors. 6 different creatures that you could choose from. And the choice, just like all the level ups, kind of, you go to a monolith, it tells you you get a creature, and it gives you an option of one of three. So even if you, oh, I'd like to use this particular team every time, you might not have that option. And your party, when it loses all of its health, they don't die, they just go on a cooldown for 20 to 30 seconds. So it, and the quests included things like, you know, survive for 10 minutes, collect four creatures to add to your party. So it's not just keep going until you die. There might be actual level points to it for progression. And yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
Nice. Yet another Survivors like I've got to work into rotation along with Ball X Pit and Megabunk.
And then finally, Tales of Old Dominus is launching in November. What kind of game is this?
This did
looks like a survival game. Not Survivors. Two different things. A survival game where you're like looking for resources and stuff and building settlements. And it's coming out on what day? Just November 3rd for PC via Steam.
Is this trying to be like oh no, I can't remember. The one set in Hungary. Why can't I remember game names? Never mind. I guess it doesn't matter. The one where you are a third party, third person action RPG Hungary setting. Let's see. The felt no nope. Kingdom Come Deliverance.
I don't know.
Guess that's Bohemia.
Should get a few imitators though within the next couple of years.
Well, I'm just if this one feels like that to me from the video. I don't know. That's
yeah.
Or is it just yet another open world, difficult to live, game thing? Oh, all right. Anyway, that it for news? Did we need to talk about Godbreakers at all? Probably not, right? There's a story trailer for Godbreakers, but whatever. All right, what's coming up that's new? Here's what I found for you, folks. Dreamed Away, an action-adventure role-playing game coming out for, like, everything. I don't know anything about Dreamed Away, but it looks like a Earthbound clone, sort of. So, emotional action adventure coming out on the 23rd. So it has a demo and yeah, there you go. Really, okay, cool. And then we have Persona 3 Reload coming to the Switch 2 in case you wanted to play it on the go and on your fancy new Switch 2. The Lonesome Guild, which is action role-playing game that I don't know anything about. There's another one I don't know anything about.
Isometric animal characters, cute and fun.
But what's the gameplay style? Action RPG?
Yeah.
Oh. Single player. But you... looks like you fight with friendship. Okay, cool. Put that on my list. Let's see. That seems neat. Vampire the Masquerade, Bloodlines 2, apparently actually going to happen. Windows, PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Andy says, don't expect it to be good, but we'll see. We don't know. We don't know.
All right. I'm still expecting a delay somehow.
You're playing what? Oh, a delay. You're expecting a delay. Yeah. All right. All right. All right. Then we have...
On release date, just going to say it'll be another 6 months.
All right. Then we have a game that I saw one frame of its trailer, and I'm guessing this is a Toho game. Fantasy Maiden Wars, Dream of the Stray Dreamer. Yeah, it's a Toho game. Okay. And how does this one work? They're bullet hell. This looks like tactical bullet hell. I don't know what's going on in this game. It looks old too. So this looks like from the 90s. But I don't know. Early 2000s maybe. Not out till next week. And full-scale strategy RPG set in the world of Gensokyo, which I don't know anything about Toho, so maybe that's the name of the world. Oh. Yeah, there you go. It is a Toho Super Robot Wars. Super Robot Okay, Tam's in the chat. He says it's the Toho SRPW. So I don't know what the P stands for. Super robotic.
It's Super Robot Wars. I've got a.
Oh, that was a typo. Okay.
I've got a headache. So
that's
sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Tam. Are there any other robot games coming out this week that we need to know about? No? Okay, cool. He's gone. He just disappeared. All right. Vernum 4 Greed and Glory also coming out. So if you want isometric PC RPGs, here's the fourth, and I think it's a remake. This is them going back through and remaking all the Vernum games, right? Or at least remastering.
Yeah.
They still look old.
I don't remember how many Vernums they went before, though.
Yeah, this is a remaster of Vernum 4, which was came out 20 years ago. So, Vernum 4, Greed and Glory!
Spiderweb is definitely a developer where I wonder if they just roped their kids into continuing it somehow, because it's like three guys in a garage. They've been making games for 30, 40 years now.
There is a very interesting GDC talk about the from the I think the head of Spiderweb software that goes into his development cycle on YouTube. Interesting watch that'll give you insight about that company and their games.
All right. Well, that's all I got for new games for you. So, we have any new early access or anything?
Yes, Cloudheim is coming to early access and has a demo available right now. This is an action RPG and looks kind of like a clone of Breath of the Wild to me.
You can choose from one of four characters, and it looks like you get lots of different weapons to play with.
But do they break?
Is it co-op or single player?
Co-op.
This is co-op. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Or multiplayer, at least.
Yeah.
There's something multiplayer, I'm presuming co-op.
No release date, though. Right, because it's just coming to early access. All right, well, we'll see how that goes. From Noodle Cat Games.
Kicking Things was entertaining and fun. That's all I can really...
Perfect.
What we saw.
All right.
And then our editorial this week is from you, Ryan. Your review of Trails in the Sky.
It's so much fun, but even I can have a hard time trying to sell everybody on playing a Trails game when the main plot kind of stretched out. There's a lot of parts where it's like, there's no stakes to what's going on in the background, so even learning about all the villagers and having those conversations can feel a bit more drawn out than a typical Trails game. And from what I've, you know, it's more of the same going back to the original, the beginning of the franchise. So if you like Trails, you're going to keep liking it. If you're interested in Trails, this is where it would be a good place to start.
Yeah, especially if you're the type of person that thinks the original game looks too old for your taste. Because I know some people don't like the original PSP games art style.
It is a it's an era.
Speaking of that, if you do find it cute, the characters when they're moving around on the screen from the PSP is used as a loading screen. So when it says loading, it goes loading dot dot dot, and it shows those characters moving. And I thought that was a neat.
You can also put like big head mode on for your main characters, right? Or like get costume heads or something that make them look like their chibi forms from the PlayStation/PC version of the old game.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't there skin that's the old models just blown up?
I think it's just the heads, but whatever. Mm. Yeah, doesn't matter. Yeah. So Ryan said world building is unmatched in scope. Action combat brings in a new dimension to enjoyable combat. Visuals and little flourishes are done with a lot of care for the franchise. Voice actors show a lot of emotional range and passion, but there's uneven plot pacing that drags things to a halt at times. Do you agree with yourself, Ryan?
Well, I think so, but if I didn't, it would just be taking up a bit too much time to start that argument.
With yourself? I don't know. That'd be fun. Hazel says no, the costume affects the bodies too, so like, okay, cool, sorry. You can have chibi looking characters in this game if you find the right costume or buy it. I don't know how they're doing it. I like Trails in the Sky first chapter. I keep starting second chapter and I want to play it more and finish it because I like the story, and I just haven't, And now I'm being embarrassed by the fact that they're starting to make 3D remakes, and they're probably going to lap me before I finish Trails in the Sky, which I started years ago. These remakes that they started building after I finished playing the game are going to come out and surpass me, which I'm better get on Trails, catch up. I have all these, so many Trails games to play, and everyone has nothing but good things to say about Daybreak, right? So I should get caught up and play all the Trails. Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, just as a heads up, if this is your first Trails game, do not look into anything about Cold Steel or Azure, because later games do have spoilers.
Yeah, they build on top of the things introduced in these games, so they just assume you already know about them, which means they spoil the revelations in this series.
Don't even look up character lists.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I would be interested, presuming that people can't spoil it for me, since I never played Trails in the Sky originally on PSP. One of the things I remember reading about was they changed some of the dialogue to be more foreshadowing to future games, because now they know where the story went.
Mm.
So I wonder if there's any parts where anyone points and goes, that's an Easter egg I know about from Cold Steel 3 or something like that.
Probably. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
I'll just never forget getting my copy of Cold Steel and going through the art book and seeing certain characters. And was like, wow, I'm glad I finished the first two games, because this is a massive spoiler. And I think your laugh makes me wonder if you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know that happens. I don't know who, so, or okay. What. So, you know. Anyway. Yeah. Cool. That's it. That's a show.
Yes.
All right. We need a question of the week. Do we stick with what do you do in bed? I don't think so, right?
Well, going back up, I did appreciate Scar had posted Square, who asked for this. So, questionable choices by developers that you stick by.
What common card and or board game would you turn into a roguelike?
So here's how I phrase that, Dalendar. What are the most questionable choices by devs, publishers that you think worked out best?
That works.
Yeah? But you think a card game, Kelly? I don't know. I think that's still too early. I think they're in the middle of making all those card game likes.
Well, I was just thinking like roguelike Sorry.
Oh, gosh. What board game would you turn into a roguelike? I think we did that before, actually.
Okay.
Roguelike Clue. Wait, that's just Phasmophobia.
Roguelike Monopoly. Oh, that's just capitalism.
You live that one every day.
All right. Love Coldzip.
Coldzip Saga. All right. Thanks, everybody. Now that I've told you what's out, we've picked a question of the week. If you'd like to answer it, go to rpgamer.com. Go to the show thread, post right there, or post in the Discord channel for the podcast in general. And if you'd like to follow more Twitch antics, twitch.tv/rpgamer, where usually on the weekend we have Tam and we have Hairfrog and Scar. I don't know how that's going to go this week. Probably just Scar. But that is generally the flow we have. And then we have other people like Smoke and Joe playing games in the evenings on most weekdays. We have Peter streaming games in. I don't know what else is going on. So many things. Huh? Plug Extra Life. When is Extra Life, Andy? All right. Upcoming this week, this month, next month, November 7th through the 9th, is Extra Life. So we do this every year. It is a fundraising effort to raise money for Children's Miracle Network, which funds kids' hospitals to help heal kids, provide things that they need to stay happy while they're in treatment, provide money to fund research to fix things like, you know, childhood cancers and stuff like that. It's the best thing that this site does every year. I'm very excited we're doing it again. If you'd like to watch along, you can go to rpgamer.com and see the... schedule will be up there soon, I think, if it isn't already. I don't think it is yet. We'll have a schedule up there. We're going to do streaming stuff like the whole weekend. You'll be able to watch people playing games, RPGs, non-RPGs, all sorts of stuff. So schedule the 7th through the 9th. Get it off work. Get ready to come and join with us and help us raise money and marathon through games after we've all gotten our pledges, or come and pledge live right on the show and help us hit bigger donation goals to help heal kids. It's awesome. Kids need it. You could use a break and spend the time with us. We're going to have fun. So it's a good time. And yeah, I think that's it. So what are you going to play this week, Kelly?
More Pokemon.
All right. Dalendar. Or Ryan.
A Sheer and the Wanderer type mystery dungeon crawler called Cladoon times 3.
Cladoon X3. Okay. Is it times?
It could be times.
I think we've learned if it's a Japanese game, it would be Cladoon Cross 3.
Okay.
Like, and I said Daemon X Machina earlier. I should have said Daemon Cross Machina. We've learned X is cross, except when it's Kai. Those are old references. Okay, cool. I'm going to... I don't know. Here's my list of things I'm interested in after this discussion we've had today. Clover Pit, which I was brought into this. Ball Pit, after talking to you... Or Ball Cross Pit, after talking to you, Kelly. Wild Keepers, after talking to you, Ryan. The Heroes of Might and Magic Old Era Demo, after you talking about it, Ryan. Stab Jack, after you talking about it, Ryan. And I have Final Fantasy Tactics still that I haven't started playing. So those are all things on my mind. I don't know which I will play, but maybe I'll be able to try out a few of those and see how it goes. All right, we'll be back.
I will mention for the demos aspect, for anyone listening and anyone interested, Steam Next Fest does end on Monday, I believe.
So get in on those demos quickly.
To possibly check these out.
Yeah. There's also a demo Cross Dungeons and Dragons demo. What? All right, let's see. I got a Lady Death is pointing out a new thing. Let's see. Demo Cross
Demio
Cross Dungeons. Yeah. What is that?
Demeo.
Yeah, but what is it? A cooperative tactical RPG set in the D&D universe. Oh, is this something to get me excited for Celesta? Oh, this is the one where you're playing as figures. I've seen this in the past. Okay, but it's co-op. But it's got a demo. And it's coming out after Extra Life. So it's going to be a while. It's interesting. You can play it solo, says Lady Death. Thank you. I'll put that on the list. Because why not? Because it's co-op, and I can play it with folks. Yeah, play games with Lady Death at some point. All right. Yeah, there. Added to my list for the week. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next week. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern is when you can catch the show live at twitch.tv/RPGamer. And I got nothing else for you. Have a good time, everybody. Playing so many cool games and demos this week. And I hope you have fun. And tell us about it in the comments. And we'll read them and talk about them next week. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.